Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Father, I just thank you for every person in this room tonight. And we come before you. And we just put our hands in the air and say, you are Lord. And we are not. We will have no other idols. We will serve no other gods. You are the one true living God, and we will serve you all our life. Holy Spirit, help us to stay on the straight path. Help us that are dragging behind or sideways or distracted or backslid. Help us come back into the center of your will. Help us come back into the center of our destiny in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. So I normally don't teach, and God's kind of given me a message. I've been wrestling for, well, about a week with this, and usually when I see something, and I see it repeated again in a couple days, and then a couple days, and it doesn't rile my feathers. It makes me spiritually alert, and I'm like, doesn't anybody see this besides me? Am I the only one that sees this? And one of the things that I, you know, I, some of you know my story and some of you don't, but let me just tell you, you know, we all have positions in the temple of God. We all have positions in, do I have a lot of gain? We all have positions in, our walk in God, and those positions sometimes change as life changes, circumstances changes, and you know, one of my jobs in the kingdom is to protect Edgar Bailey Ministries, which morphed into Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. That is not something I desired. That is something God put inside of me. I couldn't want this if I wanted to. And I remember the night when it happened. I was it was a snowstorm, and he had been, you know, telling me things, and I'd been seeing things and praying things because I'm an intercessor, and I was assigned to the ministry to pray. But that one night, many of you guys know the story of the snowblower that was in a box. Well, the Holy Spirit and me put that together, and we were wahooing because it was cool. But that night, it was a bad snowstorm, and he said, I want you to shovel tonight. And I'm thinking, really? The snowblower would be much faster. And so I like to be obedient, even when it hurts. And it hurts a lot to be obedient in the early days because we're still working out our flesh and thinking that we know best. And in the natural, I knew best that a snowblower would be faster, but in the spirit, I would have missed a destiny mark in the spirit. And what happened that night, I'm shoveling and taking breaks because you have to take breaks when you shovel snow. And I got to the edge of the driveway, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you're a marker for Edgar Bailey Ministries. You're a wall watcher. And I saw this stake, and it in the spirit, it the way I can translate it to the natural is think of a fence post with those pokey things that you pound down into the ground. It was like that, but it was a spiritual mark in the spirit, a stake in the ground, so to speak. And I watched him pound that in, and when he did, he gave me revelation, revelation, revelation with each pound. And now that revelation he gave me then, I still draw from now, because that was a spiritual move, a spiritual act. And so I liked when I was a quiet, silent wall watcher and nobody knew that. It was much easier to take out the stuff and the junk that goes on in meetings or in ministry or in the earth. And I liked being the secret agent. I didn't like the attention drawn on me at all, and I still don't today. But I talk about it today because I'm mature enough now to discern when to speak and when not to speak and who's in the room. And so as I was wrestling this last week and a half with some of the stuff that is happening in the season that we're in the body of Christ, the church globally, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because every day it's a different person at this point where that has either fallen or been found out to be corrupt or fake. And I can't stand fake anything. I don't like fake friends. I don't like fake goods. I just don't like fake. And I think God put that in me. Because it's weird. It's like I can smell fake in the spirit instantly. And in the old days, the hair on my arms used to stand up. It doesn't anymore. Now it's more of a flare of an astral. I'm kidding, but it feels like that in the spirit. And so, you know, over the week, I've been spending time with the Lord and asking him questions about discernment and the body of Christ and the lack of discernment in the body of Christ and the lack of people not knowing that they don't have discernment in the body of Christ and the lack of people who think they have discernment in the body of Christ that have no discernment in the body of Christ. And so I've been wrestling like this inward agony. It's hard to give it words. It was to the point where I actually had to do physical stuff because it just was, I had to release it. You know, it was just hard. And as I've been praying, my heart is to protect the sheep, to protect the body of Christ, to protect Spirit of God Ministries worldwide. Now, I cannot do that in the natural at all. I don't know how, and I don't want to. But in the spirit, God has given me things to say, excuse me, and things to pray to bring forth what he wants to bring forth into the earth. Now, imagine that God is giving direction and correction and a roadmap, and the enemy knows what God desires. He desires his people to walk free in love and in the wholeness and the revelation of the kingdom of God that dwells inside of us that we can release into the earth. And so the enemy will do anything he can to distract us from that truth. And one of the things I see that has been amped up is the division. And we see the division in the world. We see the division in the body of Christ. We see the division in families and friends, and we know what to say and what not to say to keep peace. But I want to give you, I want to go through some scriptures today because, you know, anything that can't be shaken is going to be shaken. And if it's not of God, it's going to fall or be exposed. And, you know, a lot of you weren't here last week. It was a major blizzard, a freak blizzard that lasted, what, 20 minutes? I don't even know. It was a whiteout. And so, you know, we had a guest speaker. Many of you know it was Nate, and Nate brought a friend. And, you know, I'm not going into the details of this, but this also brought in some anguish in my spirit because the friend gave me a word that was a word of the flesh. And I'm going to teach on that and talk about that because some people don't know the difference. And we need to get shrewd and know who's laying hands on us, who's prophesying to us, and what does the Bible say about all this? And so I have nothing evil to say about the person that Nate brought along, but I will say this. We as a team are very careful who we allow in to minister to our people. We like to protect the flock. And so there's a scripture that says, know those that labor among you. Okay, I didn't know that man that came in. But we know Nate. And we've seen Nate raised up and blessed Nate. And Nate took on a somebody to help him. And who hasn't had to be trained in their giftings, so to speak? I love being trained in my giftings. I remember early on, we used to meet on Wednesday nights. Was it Wednesday nights in Bristol? Yeah, at the filling station. And, you know, we would practice prophesying, and we'd be practicing hearing from God and practicing. And it wasn't to be seen a man. It was we wanted to know what he was saying. And we wanted to practice on safe people. So we would sit around in a circle, and we would practice. And if somebody said something and it was from God, there was like a ting in the spirit. If you are in the spirit. Now, many people are never in the spirit, and they can't tell the difference. And I'm going to help in that area, too. So we're going multi-level here tonight. And so in the early days, we would get a word, and oftentimes it would be just red. Red what? I read your mail. I have red shoes. What? And so what's going on in those moments of where you really hear from the Holy Spirit a word, he's testing us to see if we're going to add to that word. Our flesh is flaring up to see if we're going to be embarrassed because we only have red instead of, thus says the Lord, you're in red tonight, or you're going to marry somebody in red, or whatever. It's important not to add to a word. And I can't tell you how rampant this is in the body of Christ. And it's been going on for far too long. And I feel like we need to grow in discernment to understand the difference between flesh words and spirit words. I'm going to give you an example of a flesh word. God was teaching me this many years ago. He was teaching me not to do anything unless he said so. And so I'm practicing that, which is hard because I'm a go-getter. And Holly was gone somewhere, and we went to a Waukegan service, and there was a girl there that used to hang out in the ministry. They moved on, and she said, come on, Lori, let's go up and prophesy like Holly, because Holly used to do these lines afterwards. And before I knew it, I was in front, and I'm watching her prophesy, and I'm thinking, how did I get up here? And the Lord's like, you did this to yourself. You didn't ask. And I'm like, you know, because I was like, I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing that. Now, I can prophesy, but I knew I was not supposed to be doing it at that moment. And so I'm watching her, and a lady came up, and she had on a shirt with butterflies on it. And this person prophesied and said, I see butterflies, beautiful butterflies. And the lady's like, really? You know, and she's like engaged in this. I'm thinking, this is flesh, you know, and I'm mad on the inside. I'm like, you know, and I'm like, Lord, he's like, you did this to yourself. And so he's like, watch. And so I'm watching. And the thing was, it was so cool because it got me to ask questions of what is going on. And what he was showing me was, it was an emotional word received by somebody who needed to have their emotions soothed. And so they connected in the emotional realm. And that word was a flat word, not of the spirit. But that person carried that word because it made them feel better. So how many times have we been in a service when we just don't feel good and we're wishing that we could get a good word? Okay, I'm raising my hand. Okay, you fibbers. So fast forward. I'm going to a couple conferences in Kenosha, big ministers. And at the end, they'd open up the altar. And back in the day, it was cassettes. And you could go up in these prayer lines. They'd have a prayer team. And there was like the prayer leader and then all the people who were practicing hearing the voice of God. Every time I'd go, I'd get the practicing person who would just give me a flesh word. And I'd get so mad. I'd be like, oh, God, can't I get in the line where the person actually knows you? And so I get in the car and I throw the cassette tape in the back because I'm mad. And the Lord says, he says to me, why are you throwing that in the back? I go, because it's junk. It's not even a word from God. He goes, why do you go up for those lines? You hear my voice all the time. Why do you feel like you need to go get a prophetic word? And I'm like, you're right. I am so sorry. So fast forward, that conference came around again. I'm not going to go up. I don't care. I hear God pretty well. I go up, and I happen to get the leader this time. I think the Lord told me to go up, and I was surprised because it was like, you told me not to go, and now you're telling me to go. And isn't that God? Yes. Isn't that how he is? So I go up to this lady, and I'm thinking, I don't even care. I'm kind of like, really, Lord? And I want to tell you what happened that night. She prophesied my future. Now, when I say that, she saw a hidden spirit against my life and spoke against it a blueprint to help me find my way when I got nailed. Now, that's bizarre. And the word was, I'm going to paraphrase it because it's been so many years ago, you're going to look back at your journals, and do you remember the word, Holly?
I don't remember the word, but I remember what happened.
Yeah, you're going to look back at your journals, and it's going to basically be your roadmap out of this darkness. And what happened was, I got in a severe car accident, and I lost my memory. Lost my memory completely. And didn't know the Holy Spirit. I had this like empty void. I couldn't figure out. I'm like, I'm so empty. What is this? I had brain damage. And, you know, we were praying. And Holly's like, I think you have journals that, you know. And so it was like that lady prophesied a word in the future, which Holly picked up in the spirit. And then I went back and started reading my journals to figure out who the heck am I, and was shocked, you know, because I had no connection to it. And so I'm not saying every word is wrong, and I don't throw out every prophecy, but we have to start to discern and then also not get jaded if there's false prophecy in the room, because I have seen false prophecy in the room, yet healings take place. How does that work? And so fast forward. And I actually got to reach out to that lady and thank her like years later. I said, you don't know what you did, but let me tell you. And it really was a blessing to her too, because you give a word, you have no clue half the time what it's about. And that's God's telling people stuff that they know or should know or may need to know. And oftentimes what happens is when we get a word, that word should bear witness. Now, the word I got last week bore no witness. I thought, this word is not even for me. And I'm not going to go into the details of it at all, because it was a flesh word. And I asked the Lord, because I'm like, this isn't a familiar spirit operating here, because I can recognize a familiar spirit. It was just the flesh operating, a man that needed to be seen, or approved. I don't know, and I don't care. And I will be very honest. I did reach out to Nate with my concern, because as a leader, and he's a leader, we cannot cover this stuff up. If somebody gives me a word and I know them, and it's off, oftentimes I'll say something like, well, first of all, most of the time I don't get the words are not really God. But what will happen is oftentimes they'll start with a word, and then they don't have the full picture, but they feel the need to finish the sentence. And then it becomes a flat, carnal word. And so I don't know what that's all about. But when God is doing it, like I could take a poll in here, and most people won't know the difference between a flesh word, a word from God, or because you're just dull. And I'm not being rude, but we need to start exercising, priming the pump, the spiritual pump, to activate our spiritual muscles. And one way to do that is pray in tongues a lot. If we're in the spirit, when you're in the spirit, you are spirit. You're spirit all the time, but you flip the switch, so to speak. And when that happens, when a word is released, you'll know if it's from God or not. You should be able to know that. But we have to be careful that it's not just tickling our emotional need, and so we have to weigh that. And I'm sorry I'm talking like this, but the Father wants me to tonight. We need to start growing. And so I'm all for the gifts of the Spirit, and I think they're necessary for the body of Christ. A year ago, I had a famous prophet, wrote many books, traveled all over the world. And I went up for a word, and not one sentence was accurate. And what do you do in a situation like that? Nod your head and think, Lord, what the heck is going on? And it's like, I get it. You can be off. I get that. And I know some ministers travel and have to be on even when they're off. But I'm telling you something. I remember one time I was in the spirit, and all of a sudden I see a familiar spirit trying to give me a word of knowledge. And I'm like, what are you even thinking and doing? The blood of Jesus against you. And I think the Lord was showing me that so that I could see the difference, because how often and how easy it is just to coast in the anointing and not prime the pump, praying in tongues, studying the word, and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And so, I was like weirded out by that. And you can bet I had a lot of questions for the Lord after that. See, we are supposed to be asking him our questions. And so, I remember the early days, I was desperate to know his voice, desperate for direction. And I was hungry. Like I would not settle until I knew what he was talking about. And it didn't happen in a day, but it comes a point where something opens and you just know. It's like you finally have the connection that you've heard people preach about, you've watched the videos on, you've read it in the Word, and then you keep going, and eventually you enter in somehow the realm of His glory, and you start to grow. Right now I command a spirit of slumber to go in the name of Jesus. Loose off your people, go. You deaf, dumb spirit, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You have no hold over this group. How dare you? I'm going to read a little scripture. And so I want to say this. You know, we've had situations over the years where people will come in, they'll act goofy, they'll act all spiritual, but they have nothing, no substance. They just have a fat head with no biblical grounding in the Lord at all. And they like to be goofy because they think that's glory. That is foolishness, and that is dangerous. And see, when we see that stuff, we pray against it. We don't pray against the person, but we try to help them get free from the deception and the lies. Because listen, we are in a time like no other. This is like one of an amazing times. It's like cataclysmic, if that's the word. You know, how about that one? For those of you who know me, I want to read a couple scriptures. I've just been pounding this today because I feel like we have to wake up. You know, it's in front of us. His substance is here, and we're so preoccupied with the there. And I'll do it tomorrow and the next time, or the trials. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, are in a serious trial today? You know the trials are designed to grow us closer to the Father. You know, I had something happen to me a couple days ago. I got scammed, hallelujah. And I was saying on the way here, I'm still in the pummel stage. I just want to pound his face. And you know, when that song came on about the blood, I'm like, oh, forgive me, Lord. Bless them, let them know you. You know, we can't afford to hold grudges against family members, friends, people we don't know, because what happens is it drags us out of the anointing. It drags us back into the flesh. And who wants to live in the stinky flesh? Some of you don't know the difference, but I'm telling you, there is a remnant inside of you that's like a pilot light that is waiting to ignite with the Father. And boom, when it does, hallelujah, you'll be saying, devil, get out in the name of Jesus. And it will. Yep. Okay. So I was going to try to make notes, but the Lord told me not to, so I just marked a couple scriptures. Oh, that's five. That's not it. That's four. Here's one. I got them in order. And I already preached this, but I want you to know, 1st of all, never put a minister on a pedestal. We are people. We're the same. I've been put on a pedestal and knocked down hard. And I'm shocked when I'm on a pedestal. I don't even know they put me on one. And then I let them down. I hurt their feelings. I didn't come through for them. I didn't pray enough for them. I'm thinking, could you just grow up? You know, I don't have time to cowtail to babies who won't pick up a spoon, the word of God, shada bada bada ba, the word. I can't do it for you. I'll lead you, guide you, and help you to the Father, to the Word, to the walk of the Spirit, but you're the one that has to make the decision, just like the decision for salvation. What?
Right.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so I'm back on five. Hey, let's see what it says. Must be important. Okay, I'm in what am I in? Passion. I was going to say the promise. The whole thing is full of promises. Okay, I got to get to it. I don't like to mark this Bible up, or I would have. Okay, here we go. Now, don't take this as a slap in the face, okay? Moving on into full maturity. See, this is the end. We have much to say about this topic, although it is difficult to explain because you have become too dull and sluggish to understand. Have you ever been dull and sluggish?
Yeah.
I have. Can we just admit it and then repent? You want to know how you get out of it? Repent. Lord, I am so sorry. I don't even know what happened. I'm backslid. I don't know how I got there. I want to put you first again. Will you help me, Holy Spirit? Done. It's like every assault, every opposition cannot stand against repentance. Repentance brings his peace and his glory. It's like a love language to him. I blew it. Here I am, baby. I'll help you. instead of, oh, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. Where's God? I don't know. Where's my Bible? I don't know. You know, listen, there comes a point when we get too busy, we get so dull that we don't know we're dull. And that's a scary place to be. I've been there. Okay. Having said that, because you have become too dull and sluggish to understand, for you should already be professors instructing others by now. Now, don't get under condemnation in here, a couple of you, but instead, you need to be taught from the beginning the basics of God's prophetic oracles. You're like children still needing milk, not yet ready to digest solid food. For every spiritual infant who lives on milk is not yet pierced by the revelation of his righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters. I want to pause on the perceive heavenly matters, and they have been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge with understanding of the difference between what is truly excellent and what is evil and harmful. See, I think the problem is we haven't been trained in excellence in the spirit realm to recognize when a word is of the flesh, when we're responding in the flesh, and God is challenging us, like cheering us on, come on, you can do it. Come on, little one, come to me. Come into the flock, and I will teach you and show you. He wants to mentor you, not me. He wants to mentor you. He wants to teach you, lead you, and guide you, and then he wants to show you off to every devil out there and say, look at this one, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, walking in the anointing, doing the things I tell him to do, listening and doing only what I say when I say to do it. And so we have to learn to discipline when it's flesh, when it's spirit, because sometimes it like flows back and forth. I like prophesying to people that I don't know, because when you're listening to the spirit, like we were at the hub, we had lines, long lines. I didn't know one of those people, and I didn't want to know their issues. I wanted the Father to speak into their heart and tell them what they needed, and or heal them or release. One lady got a creative miracle in her foot. We're the first one, and I thought, yeah, God's on the scene here. And I'm bragging on God, not me. I'm bragging on God. And so I expect miracles every day. When I'm in a prayer line, I expect miracles because he's the miracle maker. And so what ended up happening was I would be giving these strange words that I would never say if I was in my flesh. I would never talk like that. And so when you're in the flow of the Spirit, and that doesn't just come, you don't just get that. You get that from talking in the Spirit to Holy Ghost, to Jesus, to the Father, and you grow in your dialect, your language with him, and your flow in him. And then when you're releasing a word, you're like listening, he's saying this and you say that, and it's weird. It's like, I don't understand what he's saying half the time to these people. In the end, when they're weird, I say, does any of this bear witness? Does this make sense to you? Most of the time they'll say yes, and if they look at me like, what are you talking about? I check back in, I go, Lord, and he'll give me another piece for them. And he'll keep giving me some until there's like an aha revelation. And oftentimes he leaves it like on a cliff for them to walk it out. Not for me to solve their problem, but for them to connect and ask the questions that they could not ask before because they didn't know the questions to ask. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I want to talk about another one that is in here. Oh, there's money in my Bible. Praise the Lord. Multiply, multiply, multiply. Okay, this one I just want to say real quickly. But you, beloved brothers and sisters, are not living in the dark, allowing that day to creep up on you like the thief coming to steal. For you are children of the light and children of the day. We don't belong to the night nor to darkness. This is why we must not fall asleep, as the rest do, but keep wide awake and clear-headed. For those who are asleep sleep the night away, and drunkards get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts and the helmet of hope of salvation over our thoughts. I want to go back up to being clear-headed. I know Like, I came out of drug addiction. Most of you know that about me. I know what it's like not to have a clear head. I know what it's like to chase an experience in you know, whatever, but it wasn't God. I know what it's like to find God and then chase him as an experience, trying to figure out, like, I was, like, commingled, like, you know, my old life was still being worked out, and I was having to learn that it's not the buzz, it's the presence of God that I need. You know, I don't need a manifestation. I need him. And so when I got clear, I made a, like, a vow that I'm not going to use mind-altering chemicals. I'm not going to drink booze to catch a buzz so I can check out because life's a little tough or my muscles hurt. And the reason why is because the enemy is looking for any open door that he can find in my life to cause me to trip up. And so I am not willingly going to give him an open door through substance abuse or having just a few to catch a buzz. Now, I am not saying don't drink. Please hear me. That is between you and the Father. But what I am saying is I want to be clear-headed because the Bible says it'll keep, it helps with the breastplate of faith. If I'm like buzzed up, how am I in faith? You know, to me, I'll tell you this. I went to the dentist and they gave me some natural stuff and I had a major reaction for 3 days. Some people say it was longer. And I told the dentist about it and they said, we've never had that happen before. It is not, doesn't have that weird stuff in it. I have to be so careful. Now, I told them, never give that to me again. And I had to pray for my mind after that because I don't want any hiders. Any, you know, if I'm out of it and don't know I'm out of it and then a hider comes in, how do I know that the hider's in there if I'm out of it? So I went back and closed any opportunity that the devil may have found when I was in a sleep state, so to speak, a dull state. And so if you're struggling, you might want to see if there's an open door to substance abuse. Now, I'm just calling it abuse, food abuse, substance abuse, food abuse, whatever it is. See, this is the hour that the Lord is really, there's such a gold glory presence of oneness with him, almost effortless if we turn to him. It's not like he's got a bar up and he's saying, you can't come in today. It's like there's such an open heaven. And I don't know if it's because of the time we're in where things are, you know, pressing and the season is changed again. I mean, we're in a new season. Just in the last couple weeks, I picked up on it and I'm like, oh, lawlessness has abounded, you know, plentiful. And that wasn't like that a month ago. There is a shift. And so we are praying against that shift because we don't want that shift. We want God's glory to abound, not lawlessness. And so there's a call in the Spirit to wake the intercessors, to bring them back out of busyness, to bring them back into their call, to pray for this nation, to pray for their leaders, to pray for their families, to pray for themselves, to pray the promises of God that he spoke into our lives. Listen, some of those promises are from the Word. Some of them were from a prophetic release. Listen, if it was truly prophetic, you'll remember it when you're in the Spirit. I have prophecies that were given to me so long ago, I know them because they're mine, because it's part of my DNA. And that, if you got a word, you know, the famous one, you're called to the nations, or you know, that one used to drive me crazy, because we are all called to the nations. We're called by God that, you know, we're to minister to each other. We're to minister to our families. And so I'm just trying to say, what he has given you, the words that he has spoken, whether it's through the word, when I read that word, his promises are my promises. They come alive and I claim those promises. He wants us to hone, like dust off the promises. Go back through the journals and read what he told you, the promises of God. Now, here's the thing. He told us these things, but oftentimes we disobeyed. We went left when we should have went straight. And because we thought we were justified or somebody hurt us or we just didn't want to feel anymore or whatever it is. I love repentance. I love when we repent because when we truly say, I'm sorry, Father, I'm sorry, Lord, I blew it again. The devil has nothing on us. He can't fight with us over that. That is the one thing I love the most about true repentance, is there is no inroad. The doors are blocked. The blood is covering every thought and sin and every past, and it's like oneness. At that moment, it's oneness, because our heart is so pure. I blew it, Lord. I'm so sorry. His love covers us like a blanket of liquid love, and it restores us and encourages us, and it grows us into the, yeah, that's right. I'm standing, and I'm not going to shift when my neighbors start shifting or when my church starts shifting. I am keeping my eyes on you, Jesus. And some of you are called in the churches to pray for your churches. You're on assignment to hold the helm, so to speak, because there's turbulence in the churches right now. And anything, listen, if we have sin in our life, let's deal with it. It's okay to deal with our sin. If you're struggling in any area, go to the Father and ask him, help me. I don't even know what the problem is, but I'm sorry that I don't know. Will you help me? And when you say that, when you truly mean that, it's like a wall of protection, whoop, like bulletproof. Nothing can penetrate it. It's like this time in God where he's like waiting to give you the guidance or just love on you sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And so we, you know, in the church, I've seen it too much. We act like we got it all together. Could we just be real? Could we just be real?
Yeah.
To the backsliders in here, we are not judging you at all. We are not condemning you at all. We are calling you back into the center of the flock where Jesus wants to feed and dine with you and bring you back to restoration and love in him. How do you do it? Oh, Lord, I blew it. I don't even know how I got so backslid, but here I am. Will you help me? Yes. Kisses and hugs. You know, it's all kisses and hugs. And I used to hate those kisses and hugs because I was like, but now I'm like, oh, yeah, kisses and hugs, you know, because I had emotional problems. He knows our emotional problems. I mean, he knows us, okay? He knows our frame. He knows the hairs. He knows our purpose. He knows everything, because one thing, we're created in his image. Take that. Take that. So, do you got anything right now, Holly? Okay. So, I feel like there's a shaking in here. I just feel it. Like some of you are really doing great in God. Hallelujah. But don't you want more?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he's shaking us, like, not in a bad way, but like encouraging us. Come on. Wake up. Come on. Don't settle. Don't settle where you're at. There's more. And so, you know, I feel like I'm just going to pray this prayer. Father, I just thank you for every person in here. Lord, we're so sorry for settling. Hey, this is a proclamation.
We're so sorry for settling.
We're so sorry for getting distracted. Or putting our own deal in front of you. From this day forward, we choose you. Holy Spirit, help us stay in you. And if we go to the left a little, or to the right, or to the front, or to the back, hold us in your perfect step. We're tired of ordinary because we are supernatural beings created in your image for your good pleasure and to bring forth your kingdom
into the earth.
Here's a big one, guys. Say it only if you mean it. I choose from this day forward not to have an opinion. I'm going
to do what you say,
and I'm done arguing with you about it. You know best. Let me lean on your love, which will help me grow my trust in you so that I can walk victorious the rest of my days on earth. Amen. I'm just listening. Does anybody have any questions? Aha. Asleep at the wheel.
If you're not in prophecy, and you think that maybe he wants you to be in prophecy, but that's not your lane, can you still prophesy?
Well, that's a really good question. If you hear from the voice of the if you hear the Holy Spirit say something, absolutely. It's, you know what? It's kind of like, I know up here, pretty much anybody, if you stood up here, there's like you'll walk in the anointing of it right now because it's here in the room. Do you have anything to say on that, Holly? She's going to get her mic out. She's trying not to. She wanted the night off. See, I'm not a prophet. Know that. I know I'm not a prophet.
So this is just my opinion, so you can take that for what it's worth. But for me, it has to do with if you live in God all the time and you're at home, pressing into him and hearing from him, you may not be a prophet, but you become prophetic.
Yeah.
In that hearing him can become for any of us, a normal way of life. And so to me, the reason I hear from God, I had somebody introduce me as a prophet and I burst out laughing because I'm not. I don't stand in the office of a prophet. However, for many years, God would tell me stuff, but it was because at home, I wouldn't I wouldn't leave him alone until he taught me. I had to hear him. And so hearing him became a way of life for me. If I never helped anybody else with it, it was a way for me to learn how to understand the word, or where do I go next, or do I take this job or that job, or is this house or that house? You know, I didn't know how to do life. I was without any ability to do life without him. And so for me, it became a lifestyle that I wish every person had it, because it's wonderful. It's so wonderful to be able to say, what do you think about this, Father? This horrible thing just happened, and now it's all over YouTube. What do you say? How should I look at this in my heart? And there's this openness there. And for that, that's a relationship, and that goes with you everywhere you go. And so for me, what started to happen accidentally, I was never looking to be prophetic or talk to anybody. I was shy. But what started to happen was that just began to spill over. And what would start to happen is I'd go somewhere, and if I was standing near someone, I just knew stuff about them. I knew what their malady was. I knew if they had a physical disease. I knew if something bad had just happened, or their husband had just asked for a divorce. Yeah. Or, I just knew. And I would just gently say, excuse me, are you dealing with blah? And it just, but really what was really happening was it was my lifestyle became public. And so when I started to preach, it was simply a prayer meeting that went public. That's all it has ever been. So when I preach by the power of the Spirit, it is prophetic in that God is giving me the words. You know, he'll give me a line, a memory, a scripture, just bang, bang, bang. But that is, for me, that's like a prayer meeting gone to town. So,
amen. Go ahead. Oh, Mary. We don't let people hold the mic.
Okay.
We learned we never get it back.
And it gets how close it came to
me. I believe the scripture says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. How does that play into John's question?
You got that, Holly? I'm clueless.
To be honest, I don't know that I have a great revelation on that.
Yeah.
Except that unless it means it's him speaking, it's his testimony.
All right. Go ahead, Kim.
So I have two questions. One was, I want to go back to something you were saying. So when you were preaching, you said when you had the dentist experience, mm-hmm. and then it affected you, so your mind wasn't clear. So if I or anybody has ever had like a situation where it was alcohol, or it was when you were talking about alcohol and stuff like that, and then you said, and then I had to make sure after that experience, knowing now after years of being clean, that my mind wasn't clear. I wonder if you could repeat what you said, something along the lines of, while that's going on and your mind is given over, so to speak, I had to go back and close doors. Is that what you said?
So in my case, you know, I went to the dentist. I had to get a tooth pulled. I wasn't expecting it. And, you know, so they gave me some weird stuff. And it caused me to have a reaction. The reaction was I could barely drive. I felt drugged up. And I knew my mind was not clear, but it was clear enough. I said, Lord, can I drive home? You know, because I talked to him all the time. He said, you'll be fine. Stay in the right lane. Put your cruise on. And I did. And so while I was in there, I was praying in tongues through that. But I don't know. You know, I'm kind of like, I don't want to have a battle later. So I do preventative. And so what I did was I prayed a prayer of, I close any door that the enemy tried to get in when I was under this state of influence, and the blood of Jesus over it, and no weapon formed against me. And I just went through a little prayer. It was kind of like a shotgun prayer. And did I feel like something got in? No, but I don't want to chance it. You know, I like my mind as sharp as it can be. I battled for my mind. I mean, I'd lost my memory over three times. That's, you know, really like lost my memory. So I go proactively over protecting my mind. I mean, I used to do declarations, and now my mind is framed in God, and I feel like I won that war or that assignment. It was a major assignment from years ago against my life, actually against my walk in God, to be honest with you. And so I don't take that stuff lightly, and so I'm a little proactive when it comes to my mind. I protect it.
So just a little follow-up to make sure it's really clear. So if I go through a thing, say I accidentally went out, I got drunk.
Yeah.
And while I'm drunk, then, or not sober.
Yeah.
What you're saying is the enemy, my mind can become a little bit of a, not a playground, but like there's like a cracked door, and there maybe I should go back and do cleanup. Is that what you're saying? Like, something could get in that I didn't know about.
So they're called spirits. Yeah. When you drink, you're drinking. You know, it's called that for a reason. You know, so whether you know it or not, when you're drinking alcohol, this might freak people out, but you're actually engaging with the spirits. And so why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Unless you just willingly don't know. And if you don't know, that's when you go, you know what? I am so sorry, Lord. You know, all my life I drank and drugged and did this. I am so sorry. I repent. And when you repent, the walls of protection are there, and the enemy can't get back in. And I'll share this really weird time, this weird thing that happened to me. I like to be sensitive to the spirit. I don't care so much about the earth. I care about God's kingdom. And I was in a restaurant, and it was one of those, we went for a burger. So it was like a bar restaurant, you know, like where it was an eating area in a bar. And there was a song that played, and I could feel the enemy trying to hit an old track in my mind that it used to go to, and that door's closed. There's no inroad, and so I could feel it, and I laughed at it, but I still said, the blood of Jesus, you have no authority. That road's closed. That door's closed. But it was trying, and so I'm careful even where I go. I don't. There's places you will never see me walk into, and I choose purity. I choose to be the weird person that won't do it, you know, because I cherish my mind that God has cleaned and redeemed.
Can I add something? I just want to add my two cents here. I learned a long time ago, spirits travel often in groups, in pairs. And if you're not a discerning person, and like when I was young in the Lord, I was clueless about this. And I found that if I worked at a secular job, and I was very much a Christian, but one of the things they would always do is go out to this place on Friday night, and they would drink, and I'd have like a drink. I wouldn't get drunk because I frankly never liked the taste of alcohol. But I saw, I learned during that season that I was, without meaning to, I opened the door to not only the spirit of alcohol, but there was other spirits that tried to come with, that tried to get in. And if you weren't discerning, you'd come away from it Monday morning with this new problem, like, where did this come from? And if we're, and people are quite often, you know, if you're young in the Lord, you can be really dull and not know why suddenly you're having a temptation that you didn't have last week. But that's a spirit, and they run in pairs. The other thing is, kind of, probably
there's some feedback.
I'm probably too close to this. You know, the scripture says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord was talking to me about this. And this is, we're not, you know, judging anybody or making a to-do about this. But since the question was asked, it occurs to me, for me, this is me now, I'm not telling you what to do, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you've ever really had a blaster of a filling of the Holy Spirit, you see right away that all drugs and alcohol are just an imitation. You know, they're a wannabe. And it occurs to me, for me, because I love the Holy Spirit. I love him personally. He's my closest friend. And for me to turn to something else for comfort would be kind of cheating on him.
That's good.
And a lot of times, you know, we've all been through difficult times in our life. We've all been through trials where we just thought, I can't take one more thing. God, I love you, but I just can't take one more thing. And what we do, our nature is to escape, right? Stop the pain. And it can take different forms. It can take, I'm going to go to sleep for, some people in depression, they'll go to sleep for 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon. It's not that they're tired. They need an escape. Or go watch a movie, you know, eat a pizza, you know, whatever, drink something, get, you know, something to escape it. It's not in of itself, that's not sin. But what I discovered is God wants to raise us up beyond that into his world and comfort us. Because his name is the Comforter.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of reasons people turn to this stuff is they're looking for something to fill a hole. But he wants to fill that hole. Okay, so there's no judgment about it. It's more like a wisdom thing. Okay, I hope that's
good.
More helpful than harmful.